get ready for a transformation.
But in this kingdom, we start growing. We are replacing those carnal thoughts with the word of God. Our minds are renewed to the word of God. At that time, glory, glory, glory. So when we are speaking from knowledge. Or you wake up and say, hey, bonga fish, angari. Glory to God. I took it in the dream. I will never take it in life. In the name of Jesus. Say, I'll never be poor. Jesus Christ. Pay attention to everything I'm going to show you.
Another life-changing moment with Apostle Peters.
The title of our message is A New Order of Worship. A New Order of Worship. A New Order. Order. O-R-D-E-R. A New Order of Worship. Glory to God. Alright, so we want to talk about worship. The Lord has said this is the next message, and that's what I'm preaching now, showing it to you, a new order of worship. So worship, what is worship? Let's begin that way. What is worship? You know, first of all, there is a misunderstanding of what worship is among us. You know, sometimes we think the one who really worshiped God is that one that danced. Sometimes we thought the one who really worshiped God is that one that shut his eyes and lifted his hands, no shaking. Can that be 100% true? But we will get to study about real worship in this series, so you understand what is real worship. Sometimes you are not blamed when you do something. It might be because when you do it in a limited way, it might be based on your limited understanding. That's why the Bible says to get understanding. When you understand something, then you'll be able to do it well. A lot of times, what you need is the concept. You need to know the concept behind that thing. When you know the concept, you'll be able to do it well. In fact, you'll be able to do it with ease. The days you didn't know the concept, you struggled, and it looked hard and tough. Let me give you an instance. If you just started ministering to people, maybe like your first time, that's why I've heard preachers say that some teachers of the gospel, they tell you that the first time they taught the word, they went only 15 minutes. They couldn't go any further because they got stuck. They didn't know what to say anymore. Right, it's because the first time. But later on, as they graduate, they could go on. And then as the Lord increases the grace, they could just go on until they just have to catch themselves and stop. Alright, the grace has been increased. I'm not talking about somebody who's reading some things to tell you. I'm talking about teaching. When they understood the concept that when you're walking with God, you just have to learn to release yourself. Don't struggle. When you learn to surrender to God, He will do marvelous things through you. All you need to do is just be prepared. You just have to be prepared and then learn to yield. Now, one of the most difficult things to do is to yield, to surrender when you're ministering to people. It's one of the most difficult things to do. But once you learn it and you know how to do it, you'll just be enjoying yourself all the time you're ministering. Boy, you'll just be flying. Glory, glory, glory. I just use that to explain to you that a lot of times the problem why you might not have what you have to do done properly is because you do not understand the concept behind it. So let's look at worship. What is worship? Is worship singing? No, worship is not singing. Some people think worship is singing, so let's worship the Lord. So they start singing. No. Of course, there is singing in worship, and I'll tell you this later. I'll tell you what singing is in worship. But worship is not singing. First of all, what is worship? Worship is the showing of reverence, honor, adoration, and love to God. Is the showing of reverence, honor, adoration, and love to God. Authentic worship must be done in submission. Extreme submission unto God, God Almighty. Now, since God is the creator of the whole world, it is fair, it is just, it is rational that the creation or the creature worships its creator. It's fair, it's just. You ought to worship your creator. And God is our creator. And he made you. So you ought to worship him. But then you must do it right. Because if you're doing something and you're not sure he's accepting it, turn to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. Let's look at Jesus' statement there. John reading chapter number 4, reading from verse. Jesus having a dialogue with this woman, this Samaritan woman. Okay, reading from verse 20. Okay. All right, verse 19. The woman says unto him, so you will know she's a woman having this dialogue with Jesus. Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus says unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. And I want you to pay attention to this now. Read the next verse. Wait. You what? You're worshiping what you don't know. Alright, read on. We know what we worship. Okay, for salvation is of the Jews. Okay, I don't want to go into all that, but the next verse says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers, that word should strike you, the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. The true worshippers. That means Jesus was saying that those people were not the true worshippers. But the Bible revealed that they worshipped God. The Jews worshipped God. But Jesus saying, in fact, let me inform you, those were not the true worshippers. This, the time is coming that the true ones will do it. And when they do it, they will do it in spirit and in truth. That means any worship that is not in spirit and in truth is not a true worship. Oh, so another question. What does it mean to worship in spirit and in truth? Well, alright, hold on. Let me not go ahead of myself. So the next verse says, God is a spirit. Now, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Of course, God is spirit, but it doesn't say God is spirit. It says God is a spirit. So, really, God is a spirit, and God is spirit. Thank God. It says the true ones, we do it in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. What should that tell you? That should tell you that there is a new order of worship. They knew a particular way of worship. They were used to worshiping in a particular way. But Jesus said, that's not even right. And you know what? The people of the world respected the Jews when it came to worshiping of God, because they thought they had that. They were the ones who had the real thing. But Jesus came and said, that's not even the real thing. The real one is coming. That real one was reserved for us. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, that's by the way. It is just to worship your creator, because he is worthy of your worship. You cannot over worship him. You cannot say, I so worship God. In fact, at this moment, oh God. Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4, reading from verse 11. Revelation chapter number 4, reading from verse 11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. Oh, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You see, he's worthy of worship. So how do we do it? Now, first of all, let's look at it this way. There are two kinds of worship. The first one is worshiping in the flesh. Okay, and I'll explain that shortly. The second one is what Jesus talked about here. Worshiping in the Spirit. I want to read that John chapter number 4 again, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Okay? In spirit and in truth. So there is worshiping in spirit. Okay? And there is worshiping in the flesh. Or better way to put it, let me just put it rightly. There's something called worshiping in the spirit and worshiping in the flesh. Now, there's a difference between worshiping in the spirit and worshiping in spirit or with spirit, which I will touch shortly. Okay, but let's take it one after the other. Now, worshiping in the flesh, what does it mean to worship in the flesh? This worship simply means the worship that is done. Zechariah chapter number 4, verse 6. What I just told you is in Zechariah. So let's look at the Zechariah chapter number 4, verse 6. Alright, Zechariah chapter number 4, verse 6 says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, watch this. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power. Worshipping in the flesh is the worship by might and by power. What does it mean? By human might and power. That's what it means to worship in the flesh. Okay? Now, worshiping in the spirit. To worship in the spirit means to worship by the Holy Spirit's might and power. To worship by the Holy Spirit's might and power. That's what it means to worship in the spirit. In other words, it means to worship by the Holy Ghost. To worship by the Holy Spirit. That's what it means, worshiping in the spirit. Somebody say hallelujah. Okay. Now, worshiping, if you understand it, you have a new fellowship with God altogether. It will bring you a new fellowship. So, the introduction, that's why I'm taking it gently, so I can make you understand it. Most especially, understand the concepts. Okay? Alright. Glory, 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 glory. So, let's distinguish between worshiping in the spirit and worshiping in the flesh. Now, a lot of times, what we do is actually worshiping in the flesh. You may call it worshiping in the spirit, but in reality, it's worshiping in the flesh. You know why? Because you're doing it by your power and your mind. In fact, sometimes, even we pastors, okay, when I mean we pastors, I don't want to point fingers, so we pastors, I should say, we encourage the people to worship in the flesh. We say, make sure you dance with the whole of your might. Make sure you dance with everything that is within you. Thank you. Make sure you dance. Make sure. Did you hear what I said? Yes. All right. Tell your neighbor, sheet. Sheet. Give me space. Give me space. And the other one to give space. And tells the other one to give space. So, a lot of spaces. So, after they say, now it's time to dance. Where could we? Yeah, where could we? Alright, as beautiful as all that is, it's all flesh. You say, does that mean we shouldn't do it therefore? Oh no, I'm not saying that. I will explain that to you shortly. You need to have the knowledge behind it when you're doing it. Okay? But I want you to establish this first in your heart. That is not worshiping God in the spirit. Well, it doesn't mean anything. It does mean something under the New Testament. We are not people of the senses. We are spirit beings. We are, not even spirit beings. We are spiritual beings. We are people of the spirit. So there is a great difference. When you're doing that, let me tell you what you do. You will feel good, no doubt. After you're done dancing like that, you will feel, oh my goodness. You sweat like that. Say, after you are done, you really dance. Let's like give your neighbor a high five. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah, you shout, the whole place erupts. Why? You just did a particular exercise. It made you feel good. Your emotions were moved. So you felt good. And there's a difference between feeling good and being blessed. You didn't get blessed. You only felt good.
All right, now, so, but when we are dancing and shouting like that, mighty things happen.
Yeah, it happens because the Holy Spirit moves more in the atmosphere of joy. So, when you're dancing and shouting, what you created there when you were doing it, you were creating the atmosphere of joy. And when there is an atmosphere of joy, the Spirit of God moves more. So, there are times that the Spirit of God has given us instruction, including me, of course, and says, now, let the people praise me. He understands what it means. Let the people praise me. So, he lets you know the signal is that somebody come lead praise and let the people praise me. In other words, let them do it in rejoicing. That way, they will create the atmosphere of joy. Everybody is happy. And so, when that is happening, the Holy Spirit can move. Because joy is important to the Holy Ghost. So, as that is happening, you are hearing good news. Now, if you watch properly, when we are having prophetic service, and I call and say, come on, lead praise. You know, some of you just think that we just do what we do. You don't know that there's a reason behind everything we do. And they are deliberate why we do what we do. So, for you, you think you can preach now. You want to go into the ministry. Okay. You think it's all about coming to talk. There are other things. There are other things that brings real impartation. That changes the life of the people. There's something else. And so, if you notice that in such meetings where we say, all right, let's sing praises now. And so, we start singing praises and we start shouting and dancing. The kind of prophecies that come out at that period, you just notice that they are not prophecies of you. Come here, you rape somebody. Come. If you notice, the atmosphere has changed. So, maybe what God wants to minister at that time is something that has to do with something that will edify the people, that will charge them up. Something that will change their lives for the better. You understand? Not something that will bring somebody into depression. Not something that is condemning someone else. That's not what God wants to do at that time. God wants to lift someone's faith. God wants someone to believe more in himself. So, in such a case, as you dance and worship, I just saw something now. Hold on. I just saw something. I just saw someone, this and this, and the person rejoices. Everybody shouts, I receive! Because that atmosphere has been created first. That does not mean in other atmospheres we don't see things like that. But when God wants to do more of such, he creates that atmosphere. So when you're shouting and you're dancing and you're jumping, well, I'm not against it. Of course, I always love that to happen in services where I am, because the people must be joyful. It makes you receptive also, more receptive to the Spirit of God when you're rejoicing and you're open. But then, don't mistake that for true worship. Don't you? No matter how good you feel about it, that's not true worship. Now, listen, under the Old Testament, that was acceptable. I mean, the people danced before God because they didn't have any other way of worshiping him. These were men of the senses. These were carnal men. And so, if they wanted to offer anything to God, they had nothing spiritual to offer. All they had to offer is fleshly things. That's all they have. And when they gave it to God, God knew, and so God accepted it. David danced and moved God. The wife talked against it and was barren for life. For talking against it and saying, oh God, see how you just embarrass yourself in front of those women. Were you not ashamed? Oh king of Israel, you danced like that until your skirt fell off. Blah, blah, blah. What happened? The Bible says, the Bible reveals that she was the only one in the Bible that was barren. All other ones that were called barren later had children, or at least a child. She was the only one for talking against it. Because what David did was accepted of God. Men of the senses, they presented what they had. what they had. Under the New Testament, we don't present what we have. We present what we are given. Oh, glory to God. There's a difference. There's a difference.
Hallelujah.
So I'm helping you see the difference. Worshipping in the flesh is their kind of worship under the Old Testament. Is acceptable. It was perfect. It was a good one. Let me show you scripture on that. Turn to Philippians chapter number 3. So that kind of worship is Old Testament worship. In fact, from what we just read from the book of John, same thing. Okay, but worshiping in the Spirit is the New Testament worship. So let's look at Philippians chapter number 3. Who's there? Verse 3. All right, I want everybody to read it to me. Go ahead. One. Did you see that? We don't have confidence in the flesh. We shouldn't. Those people had confidence in the flesh. We don't. Why? We are spiritual. How do you do your worship when you do it? How do you do it? In the flesh? Oh no. Well, there's quite a number of things to touch about that, because questions will just be running through your mind as for that. Alright, so that's first. I'm trying to distinguish between worshipping in the flesh and worshipping in the Spirit. Next, worshipping in the flesh is forced. Is forced. That is, all you need is to put your efforts and energy to do it. All you need. To worship in the flesh, you put your energy and effort to do it. If you want to achieve it, you have to. In your energy. Let me give you an instance. We just talked about David now. He had to put in his energy. That means the day he was going to do it, he knew that he would have to eat very well. All those starchy food that will give you enough energy. That's where some people are missing it. They say, Thanksgiving. I don't want to go and collapse in church because I know we are going to dance. Oh God, you're missing it up! That's fleshy. How could that be accepted? Wait, you think that it was accepted when you did it because you felt good? No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't. Not anymore. Because that has been abolished. That's old covenant. That's under the old covenant. It's gone. There's a new testament. There's a new covenant. Under the new testament, there are ways we do what we do. There are things, there are rules to follow. There are principles. If you are going to really, really qualify for the one who is working under that testament for real, it's forced. That's under the Old Testament. But under the New Testament, all you need to do is yield to the Spirit to help you do it. So there is a difference. Now, what does it mean to worship in the Spirit? I think I should pause a little while to explain something, because I said there's a difference between worshiping in the Spirit and worshiping with Spirit or in Spirit. Okay? To worship in Spirit means to worship by your Spirit. By your own Spirit. Why to worship in the Spirit means, well, it's the same thing, but let me give you the difference. It means to worship through the Holy Spirit. And you cannot worship through the Holy Spirit except you do it in your Spirit. When we say in your Spirit, we mean the real you. We mean you inside. That's your Spirit. That's you. That's the real man. Now, the reason why that can be acceptable is because the real you is born again. That's your Spirit. It's not your body that was born again. It's not your mind that was born again. It's your Spirit that was born. The day you were born again, it's not your body. You see why a lot of times the struggling are not necessary. You cannot even worship God with your scarf. You see that?
You can't even worship God with your scarf. Some people, you see, we come into church like this, say, no, excuse me, that lady should not come in. Why? She will have to cover her head. You can't come in here to worship God with that hair. No, that is fleshly. That's not worshiping in the spirit. That's something totally different. Did you know that under the Old Testament, if God were to show up where they were, they kicked off their shoes? Did you ever read that? When God showed up to Moses, what did he do? In fact, God had to tell him. After God spoke, you know, God accommodated him for a while. Say, Moses, it's me. So, God, kick off your shoes. You see? Because where you're standing is holy. Why did they have to kick off their shoes? Have you ever gone into a church today and they tell you, as you're coming in, put your shoes there, come in. Because where you're standing is holy. Oh no, that's ignorance. Not anymore. They had to worship God with outward showmanship. In other words, they had to show it outwardly. It must be outwardly demonstrated. The guy stood before God and God stands on the ground that he's standing and God says, this ground is holy. Take off your shoes. Why? Because your shoes are dirty. You've taken it everywhere else. So they are dirty. And as far as God is concerned, God deals with you based on your senses and outwardly. So you take it out. Why? You yourself, you're not holy. But under the New Testament, we are holy. That's what the Bible says. God came to dwell inside of you. And when he came to reside in you, he made you holy. In other words, your inside has become the holy ground. Do you understand? So the Holy Spirit came in. Your body is now the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so, whatever you wear becomes holy. Glory to God. Now, God couldn't tell you, show up and say, put off your shoes. Where you're standing is holy. That's a contradiction. You say, Lord, but you are inside me and I'm wearing these shoes. Inside me too is holy. So you see, that's a contradiction. So you're holy yourself. You're holy. He came in and made it. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be sanctified of God. It means to be separated. Oh, glory to God. No wonder Peter says, holy brethren. He calls them holy brethren. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Holy brethren. Now that's different from living a holy life. That's a totally different thing. For instance, you have the God nature. But that's different from living that nature. You know, as you are here, God nature, but you can't be human beings. What do I mean? Of course, human beings fall sick anytime they want to. I shouldn't say want to. Anytime they have to. They fall sick, catch the flu, something is flying, they catch it. That's human nature, you know, since the fall of Adam, that is happening freely. Something happens, they die, you know, they just die like a candle. That kind of life. So this human life is just all about dying, falling sick. And in fact, if you don't know, to fall sick, sickness, disease, infirmity are death. If you didn't know, it's incipient death. Incipient. Better way to put it, it means the beginning of death. You get it? Initial of death. I'm just trying to help you get it better. So when somebody has a sickness in the body, that's death working. Well, that's all in the human nature. And that's why the Bible shows us that you can kill it. Instead of letting that thing kill you, you kill it. You dominate this other nature, this human nature. You dominate it with the other one. That's the God nature on the inside. You dominate the human, your human nature. You dominate it with the God nature that you carry. In other words, by the God nature in you, you kill the transactions of the human nature
The Bible says, mortify your members which are upon the earth. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. That's what the Bible says. He's telling you to deaden. He's telling you to put to nothing the transactions of the body. If you let the body, you may just wake up in the grave if you get to wake up. Listen, and the devil cooperates with the body a lot. You know, the devil could kill you with a strand of hair on your head if you let him. That's how much, how far he goes. So the better for you if you catch this thing quickly.
Hallelujah.
So we are spirit beings, and so we are not fleshly. And so when we worship God in spirit, it means we are doing it with your spirit. There's a way you can worship God with your spirit, not your senses, your spirit. This time around, you may move or you may not move, but this thing is coming from your spirit. There are two guys dancing. One is dancing. The other one is dancing from the spirit. The other one is dancing from the flesh. He's shaking with you. He's dancing. Looks like what he's dancing to. This rhymes with the beat. But in reality, this thing is coming from his spirit. As he's dancing, he's being stirred. He's being filled the more. There's a difference. You see all the dance that we do that we jump like monkeys. Cultural dance. You see. You say it's African worship. Woo! Well, thank God for all those. I'm not against it. I'm not saying you should stop it. Therefore, I'm not saying so. I'm just telling you that when you're doing it, do it from your spirit. I seek to worship God from my spirit because I know it's a waste of time if I do it from the flesh. And many times I love to turn away from people when I'm doing it because looking at you will distract me. To distract the connection with my spirit. I can lift my hands for anything. Either you are praising or you are whatever. Because that's what the Bible says. It says men everywhere should lift up holy hands. And I know my hands are holy. Oh, glory to God. Say my hands are holy. So the Bible says we should lift up holy hands without wrath. So I can lift my hands. My goodness. Anything. Even as I'm dancing, I'm lifting my hands. Because I'm recognizing that it's God I'm giving it to. How many of you have ever danced in the spirit? You ever danced in the spirit? How many? Oh, okay. What did it feel like to dance in the spirit? Now, may someone catch you. Did you ever hear that song? When the spirit of the Lord is upon my soul, I will dance like David danced. Better way to sing it. When the spirit of the Lord is upon my soul, I will dance like a carnal man. I'm telling you the truth. Because those were carnal men. Men of the senses. So you are saying, I will dance. I will dance. Holy Ghost full brother. I will dance like carnal man. That's what you're doing. And so some people got it. Maybe the spirit of God disturbed their spirit over the sin and say, no, don't sing it. Oh, we know exactly how to sing it. I will dance like Jesus danced. When did Jesus dance? Shut up. You don't just know the real thing. So you've not just come to know the what is the real thing. Which one is I will dance like Jesus danced? Did Jesus send you to dance like him? Because you know, sometimes when you don't know certain songs, the meaning of some songs, and in some circles, and they are being disturbed, you know, they have the Holy Ghost on the inside, and so the Holy Spirit gets their attention, like, that's not right. So they feel like, something is missing. How can you dance like David? Jesus is our example. Let's dance like Jesus. They don't know exactly what, why. I would never be carnal. You know, this is higher knowledge. It will help your relationship with God. So that in church, while you're jumping or you're dancing or whatever, you do it from your spirit. Oh, from your spirit simply means you shut the word out. You go into your spirit. You withdraw yourself into your spirit, that is. You shut out the world. You're not carried away. You see, you're not dancing. If you're already dancing in the spirit, you're dancing from your spirit. In other words, or you're ministering to God from your spirit, or you're worshiping God from your spirit, you won't see what the other fellow is doing. What's your business? He's not rejoicing. We're not saying, everybody now, go around and dance. That's rejoicing. Maybe the Spirit of God wants to deliver something. So he needs your spirit to be really attuned. So you have to rejoice. Fill yourself with joy so you can receive from the Spirit of God. That's different from when you are in church and worship is going on and you're looking around. Oh no, you're deceiving yourself. You're just wasting your time because you're not being blessed. God is not receiving anything from you. You are just all being carnal. You think this is dance, this is Makusa dance. You think it's worldly, where one of them will come and then it's a show, it's a, you know, all this show. Put up the show and you dance. No. This is something you are offering to God Almighty. There are a lot of benefits to worshiping. I told you, I believe recently, I was telling you that when you worship God truly from your spirit, there is an atmosphere that you bring around you that moment. There is this anointing that is present that you cannot feel any other way. There is this atmosphere. I mean, you just go on, and it's as though the Spirit of God doesn't want you to stop. When I'm praying with tongues, Kari, Zoba, Landa, Baha, everybody may hear my voice, the person, but when I'm worshiping, nobody. I just stay there. Because I'm just talking gently. I'm ensuring that this thing is coming from my spirit. Of course, it's good, depending on what area you are, to sing out loud when you're worshiping. But sometimes, things like that too can distract you. Sometimes, I say. You say, how? I want to tell you, because when you're singing and you're conscious that people are hearing you, when you're singing in your worship and you make mistakes, you correct yourself. Jesus Christ, the Lord God, Son of God. You see, because you're conscious that someone is listening. So you're conscious. And that consciousness is diluting your worship. Oh no! Don't give that to God. Why don't you do it gently with your master? And then you talk to him, sweet words. I mean, I stay over an hour just worshiping before I even move into prayer. Before I start talking to God. I just stay there just worshiping, you know. And then I worship a bit and I'll talk to him. I remind him of this and this that he has done for me. And I go into worship again. You see, and I'll continue. If you're there, you just be wondering, when is he going to stop? Because there are a lot of things to worship God for, you know. Spirit worship. Don't be carried away with where you go or anyway or when you come here. And what you are doing at the moment is everybody is sweating. You just come in among them, say, the Spirit of God is really strong there. Where will I sit? Let me quickly sit and join them. To you, Lord, be all the glory. And you know those kind of things. And the choir say, to the right, to the left, to the and. They are beautiful in themselves, okay? Now, do not misquote me or misunderstand me. They are beautiful. They bring this atmosphere of joy to us. But in reality, that's not true worship. That's fleshly. That's the truth. I'm telling you, in case when you are alone by yourself, you must be able to differentiate between when you want to bring this atmosphere of joy and when you want to worship God truly, you must be able to differentiate it. Don't mix both up. Don't mix it up. So that you can be blessed. Okay, what we want to do now is bring the atmosphere of joy. We want to stir up the joy in our spirits. So there's a way we do it. Oh, run. Woo! Woo! Come on, give somebody a high five. Aha! All those. You're stirring something on the inside. And when you're joyful like that, it will be easy for you to receive something. But now this one is ministering unto the Lord. You're talking to the Lord. You're worshiping him for who he is. And that worship must go up to God as incense. Good fragrance. Do you understand? That must be acceptable. That way you must be conscious of what you're doing. No distraction. You're just there by yourself. Sometimes you just stay there still. Your mouth is not moving, but you're worshiping in your spirit. Your mouth does not have to move. In your spirit, you're doing it. You're not saying anything. Somebody is wondering, why is he still? You're worshiping God. Who tells you he's only singing that he's worshiping? Singing is not even worshiping. Let me tell you what singing will do for you. What singing does is singing makes you, it makes your spirit. Oh. Singing will make you see what you're saying. In other words, when you're saying, how great thou art, how great thou art, that is helping your mind to tune in into how great he is. So that can help your worship. Because how great thou art. And before you know it, you could break down. Just crying because he's helping you see something. The greatness of God. So that singing itself. Because you know sometimes, all glory to God in the highest. For his mercy is endured forever. Amen. For his mercy is endured forever. Amen. For his... So, what I think is, what we're doing, for his mercies and the rest forever, we were praising. So when he said, for, now we have entered worship. It has nothing to do with the tempo. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with how fast. Worship is done from your spirit in adoration to God. You're adoring him. You're seeing him as your everything. Either you're singing with your lips, singing old songs, singing new songs. Listen, some songs that you sing, let me give you this. Do you notice that even songs that are not gospel songs, they can stir your soul? There's a lady who sings love song. I'm not sure where she is from. Nigerian. She's not Nigerian. She sings, she's very popular for it. Growing up, we knew her to go in that direction. Now she has a lot of love songs. I mean, that's her own area. I'm not going to sell her. I'm not going to mention her name because this is a message. Okay, so, and this message is traveling by the power of the Holy Ghost. So I'm not, her name is not going to travel with the message of God. So this woman will sing love song. Oh God, when you listen. Oh, when we did listen. When we listened. Oh, you feel like, oh, I need to fall in love. Oh, if you're on your bed, you'll just be thinking. There are some that will sing some songs and it will get to your soul. You know, music tunes your soul. It adjusts your soul in the direction of what is communicating, depending on the message that is in that music. Every music has its message. Every song, beg your pardon, every song has its message. So, the ability of the singer to make you see what message is passing is what makes him or her good, talented. So, he will sing, you know, he'll go gently. You are in love. Oh, so your head is swelling. Oh, and this is night time. Up everywhere is dark. So you just have that thing in your ear and you're lying on your bed. And you're like, oh God, I broke up with that girl. Let me call her again. That's because music does something to your soul. Is one language that your soul understands very well. And that's why the devil is using it big time. To catch young people. You know, young people are people of senses. And people that tune to their souls a lot. So if you can do anything that will appeal to their soul, that will get their soul, they are in with you. You know what I mean? They are in. And that's what music does. To get your soul. But then you must be careful. Because while you're listening, you are seeing, you are receiving the message of that fellow. If it's a wrong message, you are receiving it in your soul. And so something is happening to your soul. Don't think nothing is happening. Something is happening. If that message is full of It's full of rubbish. It's full of garbage. You know what that fellow is doing? He's dumping garbage in your soul. Don't let your soul be a garbage dump. Because you will be struggling in your spiritual work. You will just be struggling. Why? Every time you want to put your faith to work, there are certain things that are there embedded in your soul. They are dragging you back. That's why the Bible says renewing your soul with the word of God. We use the word of God. And now it doesn't mean just listening to messages like this, or you're studying your Bible. That's all there is to renewing your soul. Listening to gospel music too will renew your soul, because that's still the word of God that's been sung. You see that? When you're listening to songs, you must select. You must be selective. I told you there was one time, there was one song, oh God. I mean, that song, I didn't know who sang it. I didn't know where it came from. I didn't know. But that song sounded nice to me. I got it on the internet somewhere. Maybe I was trying to download a gospel song. Then I got, because of the title. So I got that song. I said, oh God. Now, all through that song, that fellow never mentioned God. But he was talking as though he was talking about God. So I got that song. Because now, I saw it together with gospel songs. They are all lined up. So I got it. And I listened. So I became addicted to it. It appealed a lot to my soul. I mean, it's touching. So every day I would listen, sometimes twice, sometimes three times. I mean, I'm doing something again and I put that song. That atmosphere is here again. So I just feel like, have you ever listened to a song and you feel like, this life, what am I even living? Have you ever felt, of course there are songs like that. They just feel like, hope I'm not wasting my life because of this song. So I will listen and listen again. Said one day the Spirit of God said, have you found out this song? Have you found out? Because I so loved it. Have you found out who the writer is? So I said, that's true. I'm going to find out. So I thought maybe the Spirit of God said so that I can get more songs from the writer, because this one is a good one. And then I started searching. It took me time because I didn't get it quickly and early enough. I don't know why it was that scarce. But finally I got it. And then I saw it. This was a Buddha worshipper. A Buddhist wrote this song for whatever they worship. And this song is out there. I said, I was wondering. No God at all. It was just, I said, what? Do you know, as much as I love that song, I let it go. I deleted it. I said, what? You mean this? What I mean? I said, dear Jesus, thank God I've been directing it to worship you. I mean, don't be deceived. Somebody in a song may be singing. You know him. You know the guy is a bad guy. You know that the guy is not born again. But Baba God, oh, I thank you. Baba God, oh, I thank you. Baba God, oh, I thank you. Oh, all right. So he said, oh, of course it's not a gospel musician, but this song is gospel. Have you heard them? Because I've met some of them. I spoke with them. You know, I met with youth a lot, preaching. And I tell them, some of them get to talk to me how I'm going into music. Say, oh, what kind of music? I say, secular. I said, secular? You're born again. You ought to do something. Say, yes, I have gospel songs too. That's how they will tell you. Like, I have two tracks that are gospel songs. Sing it. That means they're trying to sing it. The next thing you hear is, Baba God, you do me well. You take the day. No, no. Oh God. Sometimes you're in there, say, this is gospel. They sing because they mention God and Baba God. And they're saying, you do me well. You know, they think that's gospel. Oh no. A true gospel song is released or written or sung by a spirit-filled person. So that when that song comes to you, it communicates spirits and life. That's what Jesus said. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirits and they are life. So when they are coming to you, they ought to minister spirits. I mean, it ought to edify you. It ought to lift you up spiritually. If you're listening to a song, no matter how gospel the fellow may say, and that song is making you see worldly things, it's focusing your attention on worldly things, or you're just thinking, it makes you stop and think, I have to make money very fast. That's not gospel. Gospel song ought to inspire you. You ought to be inspired in the direction of spiritual things. You ought to be edified in your spirit. You must be edified. After you listen to such song, oh, you see the greatness of God more. You see why you ought to. You know, there are some songs after listening, you just start speaking with tongues. You can't say. You listen. Oh, Ramadiaka Zadaba. There are songs that when I want to tune my spirit, maybe I want to pray, I just listen and I'm just lying down. I don't have to go too far listening before I start praying, because I would have been stirred. Now I go into it. Orako Tadia Mazakirasha. The sound of that music is coming, the more I'm stirred, the more Rato Zigalaya. Because this is spirit worship. Don't listen to something that will quench. You know what? Because that guy is not born again. That's a sinner. And he's rubbing his personality on you. He's making his spirit have intercourse with your spirit. There's trouble. Before you know it, you take on yourself some of his stuff. You don't understand why you do certain things. You struggle with certain things, you know. You struggle with some things, some habits. You took it up from him. You've so listened to him. And you know, you're like who you listen to? The one you listen to, you become like. If that one is anointed, the anointing starts rubbing up on you. This, the way it can make influence, you start noticing that you begin to make influence too that way. If that one is worldly, then you start struggling with sin. If you look very well, you just notice that since you've been listening to this guy, you are so addicted. Years ago, I know how I used to enjoy such songs. But afterwards, I just wonder, what are people enjoying in this song? I mean, you just hear some of them, just, it's as though somebody is putting them too thin of milk, is drumming it together. So I wonder, how did I ever enjoy this song then? How come? Because you know, you are now spiritual. You understand, you walk with the spirit, you fellowship with the spirit, things like that. When they come your way, or you are inside a bus, or you are inside somewhere and they are playing it, your spirit is irritated. What is this? Drunks upon drunks. If you notice that when you listen to such songs, you are still being moved. That means you need to work on yourself. That's what it means. It means that you need to grow. And it's something you must do consciously. That's the reason you struggle with your faith. All those things are of unbelief. But to help your faith, you get rid of those things. See, there's a price to pay. For spiritual growth, there is a price. You want to start flying spiritually, there are prices. This is one of them. You may be tempted, or somehow you hold yourself in and say, stop. I refuse. How could I plug those things in my ears? Hey, a spirit man, those things, do you know your ears? The spirit of God is in your ears. That's what the Bible shows. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He hears through you. He sees through your windows, those eyes. So how could you with your ears be letting those things go in? How do you feel when they go in? Oh God. No, I'm not carnal. See, I'm spiritual. Glory to God. So it's something that you must be conscious of. Your spirits. You worship God with your spirits. That's being spiritual, brother. Those are the kind of worship that we accept. All by yourself in your room, you're on the floor, you just lay there. Or you're on your knees. Now listen. When those things, those outward display, like being on your knees, all those actions, when they come out from your spirit, then God will accept it. Don't kneel down because that's outward, but your spirit is not connected. You are just on your knees, but your spirit is not even there at all. You are just there all the time. You have something to scratch. Jesus, you notice at that time you'll be weary. Your mouth will be heavy, you'll be weary, you'll be tired, your knees are paining you. You are just now it has now become a punishment. It's no longer worship. See, everybody, let's kneel down and worship God. And everybody, you go on your knees, say, Spirit of the Living. All the time you're thinking, Apostle is okay. When do we get up? Ah, it's enough. You see, it's because it's not coming from your spirit. But be smart. The moment they say, let's go on our knees, once your knees hit the floor, tune yourself, go into your spirit. Number one, shut your eyes, shut the world away. That's one best way to begin. When you graduate, you can be looking around, but you're seeing nothing. But when you are still at the low level, learn to shut your eyes and shut the world. Just shut everything away. And you're just there. And then you tune your spirit unto God Almighty. You make contact with Him. Oh, it won't take long before you start feeling that precious, blessed presence of God all over you. I mean, you're worshiping and your legs are shaking. You're trying to control yourself so you don't fall off. Because this thing is all over you now. What? You've not even started praying. You're just worshiping. You lift your hands and those hands are shaking in the air. Something is happening. And you go deeper. Before you know it, you're on the floor. Because you can't say, we're talking about the presence of God here. That's worship, brother. But after you finish worshiping, you're all you know how to do. You are shouting. In fact, in your worship, you are drumming. Now, alright. There's nothing wrong. You can be drumming, but you can be treated by the Spirit. It's okay. But if you're drumming and you're mindful of it, because it has to fit what you're... What, you will not make much progress. You can make progress in drumming. You become a you become skillful every song because you practice it enough in the corner of your room. Anytime you're singing, you know what drum will fit this one. That would be the only progress. But in reality, spiritually, you will not make any progress. You can be worshipping, of course, all those drumming comes in by the Spirit of God. The same way you can be dancing in the spirit while you're worshiping. That's spirit inspired. But then you're there and all you're doing is to do. Brother, you know. Brother, that's flesh. Oh, let's round off with this. Turn to that Philippians again. Chapter number 3. I mean, I love to know and be conscious of the presence of God in my life every time. At times like this, when you're doing this kind of worship, the Spirit of God will just drop some things and your spirit just speak to you softly. Sometimes you've not even prayed about that thing. You just want to mention that thing and the Spirit of God just answers you as it is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It just saves you of distress. Sometimes what you will just spend time praying about. Sometimes you may actually need to pray. First of all, you need just worship God. You may get the answer while worshiping. Not everything, you just go. Some people think they just rush into the presence of God. You know, after all that, they come out. Oh no. Who do you think God is? You are bombarding heaven, bombarding God. Rakale, rotos odobre, makalabasuta. And then you come out. No time of fellowship. Do you ever fellowship with Him? No time of worship. No talking to Him. I tell people, I preach about praying with tongues a lot. Because I pray with tongues myself a lot. But then you have to understand when you talk to the Lord. You may not have grown to speaking to God in tongues. What do I mean? I don't mean the one you do. There's something called speaking with the Lord in tongues. where you talk in tongues, he speaks back, you hear him. There is another one, if you know you've not grown to that level, okay, do the simple one. Talk to him in your understanding. He says, I will pray with tongues, I will pray with my understanding also. There's nothing wrong with talking to God in your understanding. Talk to him like you're talking to a friend. Let me tell you what that will do to you. It will edify you. Because when you are hearing what you're saying, you'll be edified. You'll be inspired. And while you're talking, I love God. Oh, what is sweeter than fellowship with God? Nothing. I don't think I've found it yet. You're talking and he's talking back to you. He's showing you things. You know things supernaturally, just talking to God. When you are there, you will stay there hours. You won't even know because people are just having a rapport. A good communication, that is. Instead of just coming, that's why you don't hear rate koraba gegege pakala araba mamama zezeze zuzozo. You're just bombarding retozadeba. You know when you are pushing something into a hole, you are just pushing it. You are loading it in. Rakedo bro. Before the hole says, "No ramadagira." It's very funny. Just think about it. Before the person speaks, you're talking. Wait, no, I'm still talking. The person says, "Can I say?" Hey, you're just talking and talking and talking. And after talking, that is the end.
You go away.
No fellowship. What did you come to do? You came to talk. After talking, you didn't even hear the other side. There are some prayers that are not necessary. You just deal with while you're worshiping. You want to ask God for something. That's some of the secrets, let me tell you. That's why you know how to do a lot of it. Because you are a family man, a man of God. How do you deal? Your family is there. The church is there. Every head, each one of them, you know you have to deal with their issues. All right, how do you hear for all of them? How do you think? That means we won't do anything else in life. And you still have to study. You have your children to play with, to attend to. You have to communicate with your wife. You have time that you have to rest and meditate. You have time that you have to sleep. So how do you, all these things, and yet the church of God must go on? How do you get to here? You think we will now be taking the matter one after the other? Say, Lord, now, sound. You will stay there. In fact, you won't get to mention that a whole year. By the time that year is running off, you notice you've not prayed for anybody because you are taking it one by one. Because you start with sound, microphone, the blue microphone. You're not taking, oh no, you can't continue like that. There are things that before you mention, God speaks to you about. Oh, I love God. There are times that you don't even see anything. He starts talking to you by himself while you're just there. Even things you didn't talk about, you didn't ask him, he talks to you about it. That's because you are in true worship. You could be going on the road and you're worshiping without your mouth moving. You're just going by yourself and you're just worshiping in your spirit. You are loaded, you are full of the Holy Ghost. All by yourself. That way you'll be more sensitive. Instead of letting the wrong song be playing in your mind. I remember many years ago, those days I used to listen to all those songs. I woke up one morning and it was this song that woke me up. One of those songs. Early in the morning, and it was just playing in my mind. It was playing, I was, what minute is this? The thing just kept playing in my mind. That means I so listened to that song, it was coming up in my spirit. In the morning, I said, at least I know I'm not serious yet, but I'm born again. So why should these things be coming up like this? But then it changed. It changed when I replaced it. You wake up in the morning, some songs are coming up. You say, Lord, I give you praise for it. I give you praise for it. Because that's what you listen to. Garbage in, garbage out. Giggle. What you put in is what you produce. Look at that lady. Very beautiful. Look at that. That's what you put in. You've been loading this thing in. Everybody is seeing the lady differently. You are seeing that different. You are seeing another thing. Someone else is seeing the lady in church and says, oh, what a spiritual lady. No, to you is something else. You say, I know what I'll do. After the service, I know. See? Thinking carnally. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Alright, I hope we'll be able to go deeper next time. For time's sake, stand to your feet and give God worship. Talk to the Lord.
This message was produced by Supernatural Kingdom Church. To get more of our messages, call 0806-0087-643 or 0816-0114-389. Thank you and God bless you.